The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, author, speaker, and musician Jennifer Rothschild explores the questions we ask God when life doesn't make sense.
It's as if we have a blanket of faith that we cover ourselves in, and when a tragedy occurs, it puts a hole in that blanket of faith, and that missing piece usually represents questions.
Are the missing pieces keeping you from trusting God, or are they drawing you closer to Him? Next.
Just feel so welcome. We appreciate it, and we welcome you. I'm James Robison. Betty and I are glad to be sharing this time on Life Today with you. We don't have many people here that we don't already have a friendship and relationship with because of the impact that they've made, either on what they're doing, what they've written, what they're saying, or something they have experienced in their life. Now, our guest today is a guest that we actually encourage to come back as often as possible because she is such a blessing. Her name is Jennifer Rothschild. She has been blind since she was a teenager, and she is a beautiful person, and she has written a book, and it has a Bible study with it that is packaged as beautifully as I've ever seen. I want to say to Lifeway, you do so much, so well. We appreciate all you've done to encourage Beth Moore. Mm-hmm. I know you appreciate all she's done to encourage you. and we just thank God for you. But I think you in many ways outdid yourself on this one. It's just fabulous. Mm-hmm. And it says missing pieces. Mm-hmm. And I teased Jennifer because she's blind. She couldn't see. I said, Jennifer, I noticed on the back that there's 28 little chocolate spots here, but there's only 5 chocolates left. Where did they go? And then she confessed that she has an issue with chocolate. She really likes it. Would you welcome Jennifer Rothschild to Life Today? Welcome, Jennifer. Jennifer, glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Do you really like chocolate a lot?
I do. And I must say, I probably am capable of consuming 23 pieces at one sitting.
Do you ever get, like, cherry chocolates?
Oh, I love chocolate any kind cherries. Of chocolate.
You know what I do? My kids would always give them to me. I don't eat much sweets like that anymore. But they would give me the chocolate-covered cherries, and you know how they have a layer in the middle?
Yeah.
And I was so under control. I would just eat one layer at a time.
Wow.
I'd eat the whole layer. It used to be 12 on the top, and then the next one was 12 on the bottom. Do you think it was good for me?
I think that was pretty compulsive is what I think.
And impressive. I think you're right.
Impressive.
Yeah, do you have anything on deliverance for compulsive?
I'm not your girl. I've got a chocolate addiction. You probably ought to talk to someone else.
All right, missing pieces. What inspired that?
Well, missing pieces refers to the fact that, you know, stuff happens in our life that sometimes doesn't make sense to us, and it hurts. It's painful. For me, of course, blindness, living with blindness, is one of those missing pieces that just doesn't make sense. But it's like when something happens, James, when a family member dies, or when we pray for healing and God doesn't choose to heal here on earth, or when we have prayed for financial provision and we lose a job. It's as if everything that happens like that cuts a hole in our faith. It's as if we have a blanket of faith that we cover ourselves in, and when a tragedy occurs, it puts a hole in that blanket of faith, and that missing piece usually represents questions. You know, like, God, how could you let this happen? You know, are you fair? Or God, you must really not be paying attention to what I'm going through. I'm not sure if you're really aware, God. Questions. You know, we've all got them. And for me, of course, blindness has given me a classroom in which to ask those questions for many years. But it's only been in the last 2 or 3 years, and this is the reason I wrote Missing Pieces, that I've had to take those questions from up here and feel them in my heart in a deep place. Because I went through some changes physically, and it caused depression. a true, full-blown depression, and I'm a happy girl. I really am a genuinely happy girl. I really do trust God more than my feelings. And this was more than I could manage. And when depression lasted so long, it invited these questions, which ushered in doubt, which made me realize that I couldn't handle being blind. I could barely handle being a Christian. And it was through that dark place of those real mysteries of faith, those missing pieces, that I realized God doesn't fill those missing pieces with answers. I still don't understand a lot about faith. But what God did for me, which is so much more satisfying, is He filled those missing pieces with Himself. Yes. And the encounter that I have had with God through this very dark place has been so illuminating to me. It's allowed me to ask those questions and realize that God may not give me an answer. But if He doesn't choose to give me an answer, it's because He's given me something better, which is Himself.
You mentioned before we came out here, and we're going to talk to Jennifer 2 days this week. Today, she said, I want to talk about these. Are you fair? Are you there? Are you aware? Do you err? Mm-hmm. Take off on those.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the most poignant to me, and I think it's one that resonates with every broken heart, is this question of, God, do you err? God, do you make mistakes? You know, because we've been taught in Scripture, and I trust God, and I believe Scripture. And we're taught in Scripture that God's ways are perfect, and His ways are above our ways. But I'll be honest with you, I have really had to encounter the reality that, yes, His ways are perfect, but they seem more perfect for her than they do for me. They're more perfect for somebody else. And I'll never forget the day this came to such a hard reality for me. I had been given a cassette tape. So this was several years ago. And it was of a woman who had shared her testimony. And I had this tape for years, but I had not wanted to listen to it because I knew what it contained. So one day I was going to a summer morning movie when our oldest son was just about 3 years old. And here we were in this movie theater, and I was bored to death, I must admit. So I brought my little Walkman, and as soon as the movie started, I put the earphone in my ear and I pushed play. And I was listening to this story of a woman named Marilyn who had the very same eye disease, retinitis pigmentosa, that I do. She was 10 years older, and she described all the ways that she struggled with blindness. I could identify with every one. And then she got to the point in the story where I could no longer identify, and I knew what was coming, and it took sheer courage to listen to it, because she talked about how she and her husband got on their knees and they prayed. Well, I've done that with my husband. And how she cried out to God for healing. Well, I've done that too. And God answered her prayer. And it was a bona fide, irrational miracle. She could see perfectly. She went to the eye doctor. She had no retina. She could see perfectly. It made no sense. And I remember hearing that and having to be confronted with how God's ways are perfect, even when they don't feel perfect for me. And it was as if I had to look straight into the face of God. And at the same time I saw healing, I saw blindness, and saw that both of those answers are perfect answers. And I felt as if I had been like Jacob, you know, wrestling with God. I'm not going to let go till you bless me. I'm not going to let go till you heal me. And I realized that day, I entered into that difficult struggle of asking God, are you really perfect? I know you're perfect for Marilyn, but are you perfect for me? I felt like I left that wrestling match with God blessed. I already came into it injured, but I left with a deeper blessing because I was able to rest in the mystery that I don't understand His ways. But He never claimed to be, I think or I feel. It doesn't really matter what I think about His ways. He's not I think, and He is not I feel. He is I am. And His ways are perfect.
That's right. I can identify with what you're saying because of losing our daughter just not so long ago. And we ask all those questions. You know, it's not fair.
No.
It's not fair, God.
No.
We prayed. We were faithful. We asked for complete healing, and our daughter stood the whole time and said, I win.
Yeah.
You know, and we did not get the physical healing that we asked for, but she did win.
Yes, she did.
She is healed.
Yes, she
did. And she's with Jesus, and she's happy. But you know what? I have come away with that still in this process of healing from her heartache, that I didn't ever want to experience as a mother losing her child. But here we are. It happened. It's real. But I have come away each day knowing and learning. I thought I knew a lot about God, but I'm really getting to know Him. He is so precious. He weeps with me. He comforts me. He brings me joy. He's with me when I'm angry. He's with me when my heart hurts. But He's also with me at those times when I just want to run around the room and scream and holler. God is so near if we allow Him to be.
He is near to the brokenhearted.
He makes me complete, even without my daughter.
You know, Betty, I think one of the things that I've learned about asking these hard questions is each question really does represent a broken place in us. And unless we are willing to really take God in His wholeness, in the mystery of who He is, in the things we don't understand, even in the things we don't like, unless we're willing to accept God in His wholeness, we're never going to experience our own.
That's right.
It's just not always going to make sense. And I think we all ask that question, God, are You fair? You know, Your faithful children who serve You suffer. Is that fair? And I know for me, God has answered that question for me. No, He's not fair. And I don't answer that in the way you might think.
And life is not fair.
Life is not fair. But you know, really, God isn't fair. He is divinely unjust. And I'm really glad. Because if God were really fair to us, we would get what we deserve.
Yeah,
and what we deserve in this life is separation from Him and is separation for eternity. That's what we deserve. But Psalm 103 says, He doesn't treat us like our sins deserve. But as far as the east is from the west, so far has He separated our sins from us. I'm glad God isn't fair. And so the same divine unfairness that allows us to be spared from our sin and the consequences of our sin is that same sweetness of God, His hard mercy, that allows us to share in His suffering and to cry and to feel that loss and to feel that pain. But I'm convinced He is a compassionate and good God, and if that's what He allows, it has to be because His ways are perfect.
Yes.
And when we rest in His ways, then we find that we can rest in His heart.
That's right.
Here's the thing, Jennifer, that comes to me, you know, when you went through your depression, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it, and you're going to share in the next program about a song, Take Me to the Cross, that you wrote, and I didn't know you sang. You'll hear her sing it in the next program. It's quite beautiful. But in that those moments like that, when we reach that point of despair, we've been able to find hope. And a lot of times we get encouragement from a friend.
Yes.
There are many of you watching us today, and this is what really moves me, Jennifer. They don't have a friend. Listen to me. And I want you to listen real, real close, as though I'm sitting there with you. And I can tell you this. It wouldn't matter what you look like, wouldn't matter what condition you're in, wouldn't matter what age. If I were able to kind of just get over closer to you, slide a chair right over to you, I would reach out because I'd be able to look in your face and tell that there's heaviness or loneliness. A lot of people call our phone center. This is a phone call we get quite frequently, sometimes daily. Somebody will call and say, I'm just calling because I need somebody to talk to. No one ever calls me. And our prayer partners are so glad to talk to you. So I would move over to you, the lonely one. And a lot of people in nursing homes and nobody's ever visited them. I'm so sorry. A lot of people in prison, no family members ever come to see them. That hurts me because I live in the presence of God and people who would come to me, who would reach out to me. And you may not understand this. You may see us giving water to the thirsty on the other side of the world or trying to feed a hungry child or something and think He wouldn't care anything about us. Yes, I would. Mm. You know, I'm like a river. They have to keep me from people in need. I'll give away everything we got. I mean, they watch me on TV. They say, you're going to give away the building next? You give away everything? When I see people, if I saw you and I saw your hurt, I would want more than I can put in words to fix it, to make you well, to heal your heart. Here's what you got to get. This is what Jennifer's trying to help us all understand. All these missing pieces, all this pain, none of us can really correct it for you, but He can.
Yes, He can.
The one that cares more than any of us can describe, He is ready and anxious and able to heal the hurt.
Yes, He is.
To hold your hurt.
Yes.
And I'm asking right where you are, just reach up and just say, Jesus, I really need You to hold the broken pieces of my life. I need You to mend my broken heart. I need You to give me understanding and comfort. Go ahead and ask Him. He says, call on me. He says, knock on the door, it'll be opened. If you ask, you will receive. We don't always receive what we ask. Like Jennifer said, it's better than we ask.
That's right.
Because He's better when He fills in that emptiness.
Yeah.
It's bigger than you can explain.
Amen.
Father, I pray for everyone that You've spoken to and touched today, that they'll receive the fullness of Your love, Your cleansing, Your forgiveness, Your comfort, Your peace, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
You want someone to pray with you? Don't hesitate to call. Don't hesitate to call. If you'd like to have the book, Missing Pieces, this is just, it's an incredible study. It'll take you to truth. It'll take you to the Word. Mm-hmm. We'll be glad to send it to you. And I know Lifeway will rejoice that we're doing that. And hopefully you'll get Bible study. Would you just say thanks to Jennifer for being such a blessing? Jennifer may be blind physically, but you see so clearly in the spiritual realm, the real realm. Jennifer, we are, by the grace of God and with the love of people who watch us, I can do more than just weep over people with needs. We can meet a lot of them because we do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we're seeking to drill freshwater wells. We do it every year, twice a year. We take a goal and we say, let's reach that goal. And we emphasize it two different times. Let's do it. And it takes that emphasis and it takes all of us together, everyone doing their part, sharing God's heart. And we want to drill 500 wells. Now, I want you to listen to something that kind of caught us off guard. When our mission worker and our great friend, Tammy Trent, just asked a simple question. And when it was interpreted, translated, and then she got the answer, it kind of took us back. Mm-hmm. Listen to what she said.
Varsha's kids are sick again, just like yesterday. And the day before that, and the day before that. It's the water. Their only source of water. We dream because we can usually see the possibility of a better tomorrow. When survival mode is home, hope doesn't exactly abound.
If I had the ability to provide for you today clean, fresh water, what would that mean for you?
Understand, Varsha's response floored us. The idea, the hope, the dream of clean water, or the possibilities beyond it, man, that should not be unimaginable. But that is up to us. It's up to you.
I just almost like to freeze frame on that little boy a minute. Mom says, I can't even imagine what it'd be like for me or Betty to reach down here and just take a cup, clean water. I've been thirsty a few times. Frankly, I've been thirsty on the mission field when we were where there wasn't any clean water and we'd run out, or maybe we gave away some of it and then the day went longer and we didn't have it. It's just, but that's not the kind of thirst a lot of people have. And those people that go, like the mother and those people there to those old filthy places to get water to get for their children, and that mother said, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be able to just get clean water for my children. And I looked at that pretty little boy. Little profile reminded me of our first grandson. Just looking at him, precious. Can't even imagine, Betty. It's hard for us to imagine somebody feeling that way.
You know, here we so readily can go to the grocery store and buy a whole case of bottled water. We can go home and turn on our faucets, and the water coming out of our faucet is so much better than the water they have. That's the only choice they have. And it will make you stop and think when that mother says, I can't even imagine. We have so many privileges and we're so blessed here. And all she would like is some clean water for her children so they don't get sick. It's a simple solution for us. Let's make it a simple solution for them, a well that they can go to and get that pure, clean water for their babies that they so dearly love. They put their whole lives into their babies. Let's join together and drill the wells for them.
At our daughter's funeral, we sang the song, I Can Only Imagine. Andy Christman, who was the lead singer for him for so many years, and he's at Churchill Moving Tulsa, I Can Only Imagine. And that mother said, and we can't imagine because it's so great, our daughter's alive forever. But that mother said, I can't even imagine being able to give my children clean water. Well, let's show her what it's like. Let's show her what the love of God can do, that it's not just something we talk about, God so loved that he gave, but he so loves. When we receive his life, we share it. And Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose the reward. You won't lose the blessing I have for you. And don't try to figure out what it is. Let God bless you. But let's determine a blessing for that mother and for all those people in that village. Let's drill a well there. 500 areas like that in 12 nations. And would you drill a well? Would you say, I'll drill one there, $4,800. Would you do it? Or I'll drill part of it, $2,400, and somebody match me, or $1,200, and three people join me today. I know you can do something toward it. Listen to me, $48. Can you do that? That'll give 10 people water, basically, the rest of their lives, a fresh, clean water well. They'll have to have a manual pump so everybody can use it. If they have a power loss, they can get it. We're not putting it in everybody's home. Most of them don't have any way to do that. They have barely a home. But in that meager situation, could they not at least feel good and love their children and be able to imagine what it's like to give their children clean water? All right, let's give them a well. 500 different areas where the missionaries have poured their love out on the people. Now let's demonstrate it, not just in word, but in action. Would you call the number, please? Take your bank card, make the best gift you can. If you can give part of a well, do it. You give $48 or $144, we'll give 30 people water. There's a level at which you can help us. Please do it. Don't think it's too small. It's not. What you think is small may be the biggest gift in God's sight. But for those people, it's life. You want to go online, lifetoday.org, and just make your gift. Use your bank card like a check. You write a check, make it to life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it, okay? We have some very special gifts we want to send you. We want to send them to you to bless you, to show you the greatness of our God and His name's majesty. We have some witness pens that'll bless you. We have the beautiful commemorative bronze, Living Water, to say thank you for giving water. We're going to give them water for life, and we're going to tell them about the water of life in demonstration power. Please go to the phone. Be persistent. If you should get a busy, you say, I'm getting through. I'm going to do my part to share the heart and love of God. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Well, I hope you will make a gift, and if you can, ask for that beautiful commemorative bronze, Living Water. Majesty, we'll send this to you. If you simply make the gift God puts in your heart today, if you'd like to have Jennifer Rothschild's book, Missing Pieces, wonderful inspirational study guide. Not only gives you questions we all ask, but where you find the answers in the Word of God. Jennifer will be back with us in another program, but would you thank her, along with our guests here, for being with us? Jennifer, thank you. We love you.
Love you. Thank
you. I'm looking forward to talking to you again, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend for life. Thank you for sharing life all over the world. Let's drill those wells. You do your part.
Join James and Betty Robinson July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as Governor Mike Huckabee, Pastor Tony Evans, International Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, New York Times best-selling author and speaker Andy Andrews, and many more, including musical guests such as Big Daddy Weave. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robinson. Go to lifetoday.org.
Why does God love us? Why does He carry us? Why did He cry our tears? Why did He bear our pain?
Jennifer Rothschild, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.